listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really glad to have with me once again Peter Talman. He is he's a geologist. He's the president and CEO and a director of Klondike Gold, and he has had a lot of experience over the years, more than 35 years in the mining industry, and he's had a great deal of success working in Canada, Chile, Mexico, Australia, where he's been involved with at least three mineral discoveries, one gold, one antimony, and one zinc deposit in the past. And now he's on to what I believe could very well be another one, perhaps the most significant deposit, but time will tell. Certainly one that I like a lot. It is one of my larger holdings personally. And, of course, Klondike is also a recommendation in my newsletter. Thanks for joining me again, Peter.
Thank you very much for having me again.
Just always good to talk to you, especially as things seem to be coming into focus more now than the first time you and I spoke. But you and I met up at the Metals Investor Forum in Vancouver a few weeks back, and you told me that, geologically speaking, your Klondike Gold target, which trends some, 55 kilometers, trending northwest, southeast, is comparable geologically, at least part of it is, to the Kamenek Gold deposit. And that was a fairly significant deposit also there in the Yukon. It was sold off to Goldcorp for $500 million or something like that. Of course, you have a lot of work to do before investors can start to get a handle on what your project is worth. But what can you tell our listeners about the significance of the revelation of the similarities between the Kamenek geology and what you see at the Klondike project?
Well, really, it's trying to look at Klondike in a bigger picture and place it kind of in the world metallogenically. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, one of the closest comparables is right next door, which was the Kamenek coffee discovery. Mm-hmm. And the rocks that host coffee are exactly the same. They're the undifferentiated Klondike schist unit. All the other units around it are the same. So at coffee, they have three or four different units that are mineralized with gold. And those same units in the same order and kind of the same layout are present within the Klondike district, and so within our claims. And then second to that, the rocks at Coffee were cut by a fault, and actually it was a particular fault pattern. It looks like a horse tail. And that very same fault pattern over the exact same length, basically. So we have the same horsetail with the same length, effectively in the same orientation, cutting the same rocks at the Klondike, same as at Coffee. And so currently they're aged, they're dated differently, seemingly, but regardless, from a big picture point of view, you have kind of the same structure cutting the same rocks. So what we're looking at is effectively the same styles of mineralization at Coffee are appearing in the Klondike. And so that's really important because we have a roadmap. We can just look at the Coffee data and go, look at that. Look at all these patterns, and their faults are mineralized. So are ours. They seem to have the same geometry. Let's go look and use their data to guide our exploration.
Wow. That's so it could be a really big advantage, of course, something that's far from the view of most investors, but that it lessens the risk, I suppose, or at least in theory, it lessens the risk of your exploration efforts going forward, right?
It does that, and it also gives us, inadvertently, but as it turns out, we've hired all the consultants that Kamenek used to kind of advance their projects. And so we have their expertise coming, starting next week, on the property, and we'll basically use them as outside consultants to help guide our exploration. So yeah, there's a great benefit to that.
You know, you this is just a gigantic target, as you've noted, of some 55 kilometers that stretches out. I believe there are maybe, two or three main areas that you're focusing on. I believe the Lone Star, Quartz Creek, and Gold Run. Do I have that right? Are those the right names?
Well, they were. The Lone Star is number one.
Yeah.
Gold Run is at the absolute other end of the district.
Right, and, at the southern end,
And Quartz Creek, which is a big soil anomaly that we don't still know much about, is right in the middle. And then most recently, it's reevaluating things at Nugget. Nugget has suddenly gone from my kind of a dark horse here to a really significant target for us. So I put Nugget at number two after Lone Star right now.
Where is Nugget located on that 55-kilometer stretch?
It's not far from Lone Star, so in the northeast end. The Lone Star Gold Zone is the source of the Bonanza Creek detrital gold, alluvial gold that was mined. Mm-hmm. That was the discovery for the gold rush. And I think Nugget is just over the ridge from it, and it is the source, or at least one of the sources, for El Dorado Creek, which is the second largest 1890s gold rush creek.
All right. Well, I guess it was just yesterday you put out a press release discussing the first core pulled from Lone Star. What are you trying to achieve there, and what have you learned from? Have you learned anything from the visual observations of the core?
It's no surprise. So the Klondike itself is known for visible gold. That's one difference from coffee, where coffee is invisible gold. So they use that, they extract it with a heap leach. In the Klondike, all the gold is visible. And so when we drill it, we can see gold. I've gotten away from announcing that because you just never know what assay you'll get out of it. But at Lone Star, we've previously defined at least a kilometer of mineralization in strike length, open in both directions. What we're doing now is trying to determine the geometry of it by drilling sections, and that's exactly what Kamenek did to kind of prove to the world that there was sufficient gold at Coffee. And so we are in the process of drilling Lone Star on sections down dip, and the geometry looks really good because when we go 200 or 300 meters down dip, the mineralization, because it's on a hillside, the mineralization is still within 100 meters of surface. And I think once we get these sections put up, and so I can show to all investors, look at the geometry of this. It's just a natural open pit geometry.
Mm-hmm. Go in from the side of the hill, from the mountain.
Well, we are on the side of the hill, and the mineralization seems to parallel it, so it's just in the near subsurface. Mm-hmm. And so we have what it's turning out to be, it would appear that we have a long dip length as well as a long strike length in the mineralization, and that's what we're trying to determine. And so if we'll outline an area, I think, that's going to be reasonably significant, and that lets investors, at least as a start, begin to estimate, how much gold could really be there. I hope by mid-late summer we'll have made really good progress in doing that.
Well, we'll certainly be looking forward to that. So that's up in the northwestern corner, towards the northwestern end of this long 55-kilometer target. You also drilled four reconnaissance holes at the Gold Run target at the other end of the trend, 35 kilometers southeast of there. What have you learned from those holes, and are you pleased with what you're seeing, or is it something you expected or not?
Well, the Gold Run is, as you say, the exact other end of the district, but it appears to be on the same structure as the one that controls the Lone Star gold mineralization. And so, let's go jump down there. We found gold. There are a couple old turn-of-the-century mines and old workings that had quartz veins with visible gold in them. And so we drilled that. And the question really is not, is there visible gold and quartz veins, because that's the stuff that's attracted everyone throughout the last 120 years.
Sure.
The question is there any gold in the wall rock that hosts those quartz veins? Mm-hmm. And no surprise again, we found quartz veins in drilling at Gold Run that have visible gold in them. And we've seen alteration, significant alteration adjacent to the veins in core. And the question now, we have to wait for assays basically, but even the proof of concept to me is there's quartz veins there with alteration, whether it's gold bearing or not. That's a live system, and it's very much like the one we see at Lone Star, and it's already worthy of much more exploration. And that's regardless of what results we get. So I'm really hopeful. I am personally very hopeful that we get decent results out of the drilling. But regardless, there's a really big target there, and that whole area would explain why Gold Run, which is another one of these important 1890s alluvial gold rush creeks, I think we're on to finding another source within the Klondike at Gold Run.
No. So how soon do you expect to have some assays out? You're drilling now. Will you be batching them, or when might we start to see some assays?
I had to go look it up. I figured you'd ask that question. And
of course I would.
I would expect sometime after your July the 4th weekend holiday.
Okay, all right.
We'll get the very first core somewhere in the July 1st to the 4th is what the lab predicts, but of course it's Canada Day for us as well, so I don't believe the lab is going to be working. It'll be sometime after that. I'll probably, the first couple of holes would be natural, so anyway, by mid-July, will be the first holes released from Lone Star.
And I guess then it will depend to a certain extent, to a great extent perhaps, on what you see, what your next steps will be for Lone Star, or for Gold Run.
We jumped down there, we went and drilled it without really having any information other than looking at it from surface. And so we have an airborne starting next week. There's a regional soil program. We're finally getting to the point where we believe there's lots of gold in the Klondike in our property. And so let's do the regional work necessary to understand the full length of it. And that will cover in detail Gold Run. And I think out of that, we're going to get targets. And then we'll actually have a geology map, a soil map, and an airborne or a magnetic map to go target things better.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned at the start of our conversation a few minutes ago that you now consider Nugget, which is up there close to Lone Star, to be your second most promising target at this stage. In a news release yesterday, you mentioned that you found new things in the old core that you drilled in 2002. 2015-2016 in the Nugget Zone. Did you miss something there? And if so, could you explain what you maybe didn't see the first pass?
Well, that's really the discovery story for Klondike right now, and it's really exciting, is that 120 years people have been looking at the quartz veins and sampling them only. That's where gold has historically been found. And we have found it disseminated in the schists next to the quartz veins, and for the first time we started sampling that in 2017 really, and so there's a significant amount of gold. I believe it's like 80% of the alluvial old Klondike 20 million ounces of gold comes from disseminated, not the quartz veins. At Nugget, we've drilled total of 23 holes in about a kilometer and a half strike length in there. They've all hit, although I've previously reported that they hadn't, but we've gone back and looked at them and gone, you know what, there is a wide, broad zone in every one of those holes of gold mineralization, and we didn't sample most of the holes in those intervals. And so there's two, they weren't released. I'll tell you this now, one of the holes, if you look at it from a broad point of view, it's 3.2 2 grams over 22.5 meters.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the best holes drilled on the property, and they weren't released that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that has a lot of potential. Basically, every hole hit over 1.5 kilometers, 1.4 oh. kilometers, and we need to do a lot of sampling to get caught up, and we know there's disseminated gold there now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's a shift in thinking. That was me personally going, right, we're only going to worry about the quartz veins when we initially mm-hmm. started, but
sure.
And we didn't know about the disseminated, now we do. I think it's a great target.
All right. Well, you, with such a large project, then I guess how are you narrowing it down? Then what? How do you decide where to put your next dollars? I guess it has to do with assays. It has to do with potential value. I guess, right?
Well, and the shift this year, it's already begun, but we're going to be drilling for looking ahead towards resources, and so that's really the priority. So Lone Star definitely has some considerable size and potential, and so let's figure out, you know, what the geometry of that is and the grade. Nugget, just it's easy to do because we can go resample, and there'll be lots of results coming from that this summer,
mm-hmm.
and I think they'll all be positive, and we'll design a drill program for Nugget that will, you know, kind of focus on, can we establish lengths and widths, and looking ahead to resources again. And that probably means that Gold Run, as exciting as it is, it'll certainly get another look and probably another drill program, but it'll be quick as a recce because we already have enough on our plate this year
mm-hmm.
to do. And you know, in the meantime, that'll get all the regional data in and looked at, and we can figure out really how big, what kind of a tiger we have by
yeah.
the tail right now.
Yeah. Well, what, so your resource probably won't be, you won't have a resource out this year yet. Probably it'd be 2019 or might we see a resource?
No, yeah, not this year. If we go on the Kaminak timeline, what we're aiming at is to produce a geology 43-101 report, after the end of this field season, and Kaminak did that and actually waited, I think, another 2 years to produce a first resource. I'm going to try to do that for the end of 2019, no promises, but I think we can do that. All our holes are really short and quick, so we can do a lot of drilling. Anyway, we'll see how that goes, but the end of 2019 yeah. is what I'm aiming at.
All right. Peter, you have a very large target. You've got some very large mining companies up there in the Yukon around you. To what extent do you think they are aware of what you're doing?
To a great extent, I know they're aware of it. I'll be seeing some of them next week.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess you can't say a whole lot more than that, but it's certainly something that I'll be watching carefully for news on. You have enough money, I think, to take you through this year, you told me before, right?
This year, $2.5 million budgeted. Next year, $2.5 million budgeted. That would leave money into 2020. So we're fully funded
Wonderful.
Through into 2020.
Well, we want to see some really good results come out and the share price go up several fold from where it is now before you finance again. That's what I hope as a shareholder anyway.
And as you said, we're coming into that seasonality too, and
yeah.
I hope to deliver some really good results into that. And like I said, we're fully financed, but you know, if the world really loves us, then there's always opportunity for more, and that would expand the program for next year.
Yeah, well, you are limited, though, in your seasonality there. You can drill up to how long? When do you have to shut down?
Last year we were drilling still the first week of October,
uh-huh.
although my crew weren't that crazy about that.
Yeah, I bet, yeah. Well, in any event, anything else you'd like to tell us, any closing thoughts, Peter, before
no,
we...
other than, you know, I'm becoming increasingly excited by what I see as great potential, and I know that we are figuring out the Klondike and finding sources for that old historical alluvial mining district. So it's super exciting.
Okay, we'll have to leave it at that. Thank you so much, Peter. It is an exciting story. I'm glad I own some shares. Wished I had bought them at this price, but I think compared to where we're heading, I think I'm going to be a happy camper. I hope so. We'll see, but we'll certainly find it fascinating, and thanks so much for spending time with us to explain the story to our listeners. We'll look forward to doing it again sometime in the not-too-distant future, hopefully. All right, folks, well, we do have to go to break now. Don't go away. Alistair MacLeod is going to be with us to discuss the trend towards the remonetization of gold as part of the evolving geopolitical world that we're living in now. So don't go away. Fascinating discussion with Alistair MacLeod coming up.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Noble Resources Corp. trades on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under NVO. Its flagship assets are located in the Karratha region of Western Australia, where they are currently drilling and trenching their Perdies Reward Project. In addition, Noble has partnered with Sumitomo Mining Corporation to advance its Beaton's Creek Gold Project toward production. With over $70 million in cash and strong shareholder support from the likes of Kirkland Lake Gold, Noble is well on its way to establishing itself as one of the top junior explorers and developers in Australia.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.